How are we doing, everyone? My name is Tim Doyle, aka Jim Doyle, and welcome to episode 3 of Back on Top. I highly recommend listening to the first two episodes if you haven't yet. Just to give a quick summary of episode 2, I talked about the beginning steps of the recovery plan that my doctor gave me. It started with a week-long steroid pack, then 2 cortisone injections, and then the beginning of physical therapy. The theme of that episode was minor improvements with major amounts of pain. And now we're here entering the next stage of the story. It was time for me to have my follow-up visit with my doctor after 8 weeks of PT. I knew that this meeting would be a lot more bad than good. He asked me a few questions, did a few similar physical tests that he had done on my first visit a couple months back, and it didn't take him long to tell me the one word that you never want to hear from a doctor: surgery. He explained that due to the lack of my improvement over the past few months, and since the first time that I had seen him, surgery might be the best option. Just to clarify, he didn't tell me that I needed surgery, but that surgery was elective and I would be a very good candidate for it. I was devastated when he told me this, and I pretty much took it as, I think you need surgery. Now you're probably wondering or asking, but I thought you kind of wanted surgery and wouldn't be against it. Why were you bummed then when he told you that? And yes, in the previous episode, I explained how I was the one who was actively looking into surgery. I didn't realize it until I was in the moment sitting in that doctor's office, but there's a massive difference between just thinking and researching about surgery on your own and then actually having a doctor tell you that it might be the best option or maybe even the only option for you to get better. Obviously, based off of the title of this series, you already know that I did not get surgery. And I'm very proud to say that after that second consultation, I never saw that doctor again. But in the moment, I was pretty convinced that I'd be scheduling a date for surgery and seeing and talking with that doctor a lot moving forward. Immediately after that second appointment with my doctor, I actually had a physical therapy session. I told my therapist that the news, and he was not surprised that the doctor had given that breakdown of my situation, just based off my lack of progress since the first time he had seen me and, you know, the levels of pain that I was still in. I asked my physical therapist what he thought I should do, and he gave me a similar plan as the doctor. He told me, let's give it another 2 to 3 weeks of PT, and if we don't see any improvements, maybe you should do the surgery. Said I can get you started on the post-op recovery process down here, and then you can go back up to school and continue the recovery process up there. I was a little surprised that he had told me that, actually. Just based off of the fact that he had previously told me that these types of injuries can most likely be resolved without surgery, but with a potentially prolonged recovery time. I think his thought process was partly due to the fact that he knew I wanted to be back up at school so badly, and since there was minimal progress made thus far anyways, surgery would get me to where I wanted to be that much faster. Plus, I knew that if I were to get surgery, this would be the absolute perfect time to get it. My winter break was coming up from school in the next few weeks. I could get the surgery, have a full 5 to 6 weeks at home to recover, and then could return to college for my entire final semester. I wasn't fully sold on the surgery, I would say, but I also wasn't fully against it. Up until this point, there really wasn't any debate on my part about the instructions I was given from my doctor or my physical therapist. Steroid pack, cortisone injections, physical therapy, sure, yes, of course, I'm doing all that. That sounds like a great plan. Surgery? Well, we're gonna have to think and talk about this now. this just got a whole lot more serious. This was the first time in the recovery process so far that I felt like I needed to make a choice about what I wanted to do and what I thought would be best, rather than simply going along with what somebody told me I should do. This wasn't a decision that I wanted to make on my own. I wanted and needed my parents' input. I would say that I knew where both my parents already stood for the most part. I'd had a discussion with my dad a few weeks prior to my second meeting with the doctor, and he told me, go along with the process the doctor and the physical therapist have laid out for you, but honestly, don't be surprised if you do need a procedure. I pretty much had the same mindset as him going into this, so we were on the same page. With my mom, when I was just beginning PT and I would mention researching surgery to her, she would lose it. She didn't like it at all, especially because I was just in the beginning of stage of PT. She hoped that I would be able to avoid surgery and didn't even want me thinking about it. Now that we had reached the point where surgery was a viable option, and I would say being suggested to a certain extent, I thought that her opinion would definitely change a little. But the exact opposite actually happened. She doubled down on what she initially told me. She point blank told me, you are not getting surgery. And I'm not gonna lie, I got really, really mad. And that's partly probably because of the pain, of how much pain I was in, but also because I disagree with her and the way that she said it. I told her, yeah, it's really easy for you to say. You're not the one who's in constant pain all day. And I also told her, what if I don't get better? And then 2 or 3 months from now, I'm still in serious pain, and then I do end up getting the surgery. I would feel like I just wasted so much time. And she told me, well, that's a risk that you're gonna have to be willing to take. But that's honestly not even the risk. Think of it this way, the risk is getting surgery and it not working. Don't just assume that you get this surgery and everything goes back to normal. That isn't a given. You haven't given this enough time yet to make that decision. After reading some more material on the surgery process and potential risks afterwards, like scar tissue, and honestly the possibility that the surgery just does not resolve my pain, my mom established enough fear, but more importantly, she also established enough confidence within me that surgery was not the route to take and that I could beat this without surgery. The pain was really, really bad, but it wasn't bad enough for me to give in or give up just yet. In my mind, I pretty much came to the conclusion that surgery was off the table. And what I mean by off the table, I mean for good. Surgery would not be an option for me, unless my condition got so, so bad that I couldn't walk or get to the point where I couldn't control going to the bathroom. But I wasn't there yet, and hopefully never would be. I also knew that I needed to go back to the drawing board to see what I should do next to relieve me of this pain and actually get on the path to recovery. I was not confident at all that the physical therapy I was currently doing would yield any success or relief. I got to the point where I was just like, this is not going to be the solution. Before jumping right into the next variation of therapy that I did, I think it's important to first break down how I found out about this other type of therapy and why I thought that it might be a better recovery option. I mentioned in a previous episode that pretty early on into my PT, I was researching surgery for my herniated discs. But I was also looking into alternative treatments besides just regular physical therapy and surgery. I had come across this thing called spinal decompression, and I found the concept behind it to be very interesting. To explain it in the most basic way that I know how, you lie down on your back on a motorized table, which is made up of two pieces, and then the table starts to slowly move apart then back together, then apart, then back together, resulting in your body slowly being stretched out. The goal is for the slow, constant stretching to create kind of a suctioning effect within your back, which would hopefully allow the discs to revert back into their original position in your spine. The end goal was exactly the same as what I was trying to achieve in regular physical therapy, just with a much different method. I'd found out about spinal decompression early on into PT, so obviously I wasn't going to switch paths, but when I was reading about it, honestly, it just made sense, and I believed I could potentially benefit from it. And when I met with the doctor the second time at HSS, I mentioned it to him. He didn't have the same confidence in it as I did, but told me to try it if I wanted to. Now that PT showed me that it really wasn't working, I definitely did want to try it and wanted to make it the primary focus of my recovery. I needed to figure out where I could go to get this type of treatment, so for the time being, I was still going along with my regular physical therapy program. And I'm actually, not gonna lie, I'm really glad that I did, because something very interesting happened in one of my final sessions at PT. In one of my sessions, my regular therapist was not able to be there, so I had to work with another person. To start out every single session, my physical therapist would always stretch me out and do massage therapy on my back and hips. This other therapist did the exact same, but there was one stretch in particular that he did that I had never done before. He wrapped a towel around my ankle and started to slowly pull on my legs to stretch me out. The relief I felt in this one short-lived moment was the most I had felt in all my weeks of PT. And to me, this was a clear sign to transition to the spinal decompression, because I was like, okay, this is exactly what I would be doing with the decompression. My physical therapist even lent me a large rubber stretching band to take home with me so that I could simulate the stretch. I would wrap one end of this rubber band around a leg of my bed and then would wrap the other end around my ankle. I was glad that I could find something that would subdue the pain for just a little bit and provide a little momentary relief. And like I said, I was also of the mindset now, I was like, all right, enough of trying to simulate this, let's do the actual thing with spinal decompression. Thankfully, I was able to find a chiropractor about 20 minutes away from my house that specialized in treating herniated discs with spinal decompression. This is what he built his medical career off of. In the final week of December 2020, I had an initial consultation with this new doctor to review my MRI and a potential treatment plan. He told me, I've treated lots of patients and I've looked at lots of MRIs. This isn't the worst I've seen, but it's pretty close. And in my head, after he said that, I'm just like, man, I cannot catch a break. Like, yeah, I know it's bad, but like, I'm just getting ripped apart here. I already knew what the MRI said. It's not like there were any surprises. But it was still just as difficult to hear about the severity of my herniations from this chiropractor as it was from the orthopedist. He emphasized, though, I know I can help you. In fact, he even said, I'm going to change your life. He also went on to say, with most of my treatment plans, I recommend anywhere between 20 to 30 spinal decompression sessions, 2 to 3 times a week. But in your case, I think you need upwards of 40 sessions. One session, he said, took 20 to 25 minutes, and he believed I should go 4 to 5 times a week. So I practically needed double compared to his average patient. There were also other things that he wanted me to start doing. He wanted me to wear a back brace for extra support, start taking fish oil and glucosamine, and the thing that took up the most time, start icing 20 minutes every single hour. And when I mean every hour, I mean every single hour. From the time I woke up to the time I went to bed, I would be icing my back. I'd have a timer for 20 minutes to ice and then another timer for 40 minutes when I would rest. And that would just be a rolling clock throughout the entire day. And the final thing he wanted me to do was to stop physical therapy. He told me, I want to be in complete control of your situation here, and I can't do that if you're still doing PT with someone else. I completely understood that and was completely fine with making that switch. That's what I wanted to do in the first place, so we were both on the same page. However, my physical therapist and I weren't on the same page as much. He was not as happy and did not think so highly of this new plan. He didn't like it when I told him I was going to stop working with him, so I could focus on the spinal decompression completely. I think there were two main reasons why he felt so upset. First, I think he thought I would be wasting my time with this and that spinal decompression was not going to be the answer to my problems. He believed his PT treatment plan would be the best thing for me. I mean, it makes sense. He had helped a lot of patients with disc problems in the past, but I think enough time had shown that I just was not going to be one of those patients. And secondly, I think from a pride perspective, he just really wanted to be the one who fixed me. And I appreciated that. We had more than just a general therapist-patient relationship, so it was difficult making a change. But I knew it needed to be done. Okay, so I'm gonna wrap things up here. I think this is another good place to stop in the story. In the next episode, we're going to pick up right where we left off. I'm going to jump into the beginning of my new treatment plan with spinal decompression and also dive deeper into the mental component of this entire process, talking about what I struggled with and how I kept myself going. If you have any questions or would like to talk to me about anything, the easiest way would be to message me on Instagram at jim.doyle. Anyways, I hope you found this episode interesting or beneficial in any way, and I will see you soon for episode 4.